We're going to take the time to read the entire 16 verses, they're not long, of the fourth chapter of Hebrews. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the gospel preached to us just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them because those who heard, did not combine it with faith. Now we who have believed enter that rest just as God has said, so I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. And yet his work has been finished since the creation of the world. For somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in these words, and on the seventh day God rested from all his work. And again in the passage above he says, they shall never enter my rest. It still remains that some will enter that rest, and those who formerly had the gospel preached to them did not go in because of their disobedience. Therefore God again set a certain day, calling it today, when a long time later he spoke to David, as was said before, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will fall by following their example of disobedience. The word of God is living and active. Sharper than any double-edged sword, it penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Father, we pause to ask your blessing upon this reading of your word. And at the same time, we beseech your blessing upon our ears to hear what the Holy Spirit would say to us. We pray especially that you would touch your servant this morning, that he might speak not necessarily what he wants to say himself, but what you would speak to him. Come, we pray, in this time of preaching, in Jesus' name. Amen. There are other dimensions to life besides length and wealth and power. 2 years ago, I buried an old man, and about the only thing I know about him or remember about him, even though I had visited in the home, was the fact that he was born the same month that Abraham Lincoln died, and he certainly had a long life, but that's about all I know about old Grandpa, and a long way.
Ago, a very fine young Christian man died. And his pastor quoted him in words something like this: our
friend who's gone on said, if I do anything in this world, I shall have to begin now. If I do anything, I shall have to begin. Our text speaks about a fear. A fear of falling short of a promise. Let us be careful. That word in the King James says, let us therefore fear, so that none of us be found to have fallen short of the promise of God. God only knows what your full potential is. And only a fool would say, I don't really worry about making my full potential. I'll take God's second best. But God knows. God has a plan. God has a pattern. What is your full potential? What can God do with your life if you let this fear, not a sinful carnal fear, not a fear that has torment, but this concern, this fear, this carefulness that you don't come short of all that God has planned for your life? What would happen if each of us would literally take this promise and be careful that we don't come short of this rest of faith that the writer of Hebrews is talking about? What is your full potential? You know, if just this group here this morning, relatively small compared to, you know, the population of Quincy, compared to much of anything, but if this group here this morning could realize our full spiritual potential, we'd turn this world upside down. What is your full potential? One thing I'm sure of, it's unique. God's plan for you is not a copy of any other Christian profile. But I'm sure of this too, that the only way it can be described, even though we've been singing how great thou art and what is man that thou art mindful of him, God's plan for you involves greatness. God is no respecter of persons. And even though the world may never say you're great, if you'll follow God's full potential for your life, if you let this fear possess you, be careful that we don't come short. The end, I promise you, will be greatness. Now it's called the rest of faith here. I guess in English we could play on words and say the rest means what's left. And maybe we could use that, the rest of faith. You've got some faith, you need the rest of faith. But that's not what that means. It means rest in the sense of a Sabbath rest. It's called the rest of faith, but this potential is not reaching a place where we kind of shift into overdrive. And from then on, we hit our orbit and we just kind of take it easy. It may be a disappointment, but I don't believe there is such a place, at least this side of the grave. I've been reading in Corinthians this week for my own devotion. And I just read a passage in 2 Corinthians, the first chapter there, that I was saying I'm going to speak about rest on Sunday. Listen to what Paul says in 2 Corinthians, the first chapter, last part of verse 8. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts we felt the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us. So it's not the idea that when you reach this potential, when you reach this rest of faith, all of a sudden the battles are all over, the pressures are all over, and it's easy sailing. No, it's not that at all. Matter of fact, when you give yourself wholly to God and dedicate yourself to finding your full potential in Him, it may be that it'll get tougher. We want to make it seem easier than it is. But it is a rest of faith in a sense of being fully accepted in Christ. And somehow our faith takes hold. And we find a rest from ceaselessly and endlessly trying to prove that we're someone. And we just know that we are accepted in Him. We know that our consecration is complete. And there's a sense of fulfillment even in the process of becoming fulfilled, being fulfilled. When we've reached this rest of faith, we don't have to prove we thought of the idea first. We don't have to be constantly seeking to build up our ego. We don't have to be proving points, but we know we're accepted in Christ. We know that we not only have passed from death to life, but that God has fully accepted us as a sacrifice. He filled us with His Spirit. And it says here, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God who have ceased from just depending on their own efforts and their own striving. God only knows what your full potential is. But finding that full potential is entering into this rest of faith, which is locked up, the secrets locked up in this fourth chapter of Hebrews. Now, what is the power of finding our full potential? It's certainly not of our own work, as we see there in verse 10. Anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from His. To find our potential doesn't mean that we simply go through the motions, go through the rituals, we're there when we're supposed to be, although there is value, certainly, in doing. And the very next verse says, let us make every effort, let us labor to enter into the rest. Not the idea of not working, but it's the difference between self-effort and self-realization and faith effort and surrendering to Him. The effort is not to achieve, but the effort is to surrender. The effort is to become God in Christ. And so it's not through our own striving or our own work that we find this rest of faith. And then it's not merely through knowing either. Some people think that faith involves taking enough classes and enough courses until we can distinguish between Calvinism and Arminianism, and God help us, we need to do that. We need to sharpen up the focus of our doctrine so we know what we believe and why we believe it and who we are. And yet, even knowing the right thing, even having a head knowledge, does not bring us into this rest of faith. Look at that. My bifocals here. Last part of the second verse. It says, they had the gospel preached to them, but it was of no value to them because those who heard it did not combine it with faith. So it's not merely through words, not through a faith that just knows but doesn't make any difference in the lifestyle. If we're going to enter into this rest of faith, it's going to be through the miracle of the living word. We read there beginning with verse 12. The word that pierces into our very attitudes and motivation and reveals to us as we open our hearts by faith and say, Lord, take me apart and put me back together again in such a way that I can be in this rest of faith and begin to achieve the potential that God has for me. When you begin to talk to God like He's a person, and when you're willing to act upon what He says back to you, when you approach the Bible not just as a textbook, but as a guide for life, God will begin to talk to you and bring you into this rest of faith. I want to spend the time that's left this morning looking at the steps that bring us in to this rest of faith. Whoever wrote the book of Hebrews conveniently marked this chapter with the steps. Someone called it a lettuce garden. There are four verses that begin, or four phrases that begin with "let us." Kind of makes it easy for you, doesn't it? Verse 1. Let us be careful. We've already talked about that. The first step into God's full potential is being obsessed, if I could use that word, obsessed with not settling for anything less than the best God has for us. Let us therefore fear. The word in the Greek, I looked it up, phobio. God wants us to have a failure phobia, or a mediocre phobia, or whatever. We've got to get obsessed with the idea of finding God's excellence, demanding nothing less than God's full potential in our life. So that's the first let us. Then, verse 11. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest. Now, we've already said that we don't enter the rest of faith by our own efforts. But it's not a contradiction to speak about one of the steps of entering into faith, the rest of faith, as being a discipline of being under the leadership of God. Why should the full development of the Christian life be any less demanding than the development of skills of earning a living or excelling in a sport? And yet we get the idea that we can put so much of the bulk of our energy into these secular pursuits, which are good. And we can just throw God the ragtag end of a day or a week and then expect to achieve the rest of faith to find full potential. It just doesn't work that way. I would suggest to you this morning that we're not going to find the rest of faith until we find time daily for spiritual discipline, daily time to open our hearts to God's Word, daily time to spend time in meditation and prayer. I don't mean to put a guilt trip on you. I think all of us have had to struggle through until we found this discipline. But if you've struggled and failed and struggled and failed, I suggest to you that we need to form small groups until we are responsible to each other, at least one other person, that will be your spiritual buddy, if you please. Until you have to report, I've been praying, I've been reading my Bible, I've been faithful. Now the church can help to organize these if you need them. Use your friendship and worship card. Say, I need a small group to be responsible to. Perhaps there are spontaneous ways they can come about, but I suggest to you, we cannot find our full potential until we have a daily spiritual discipline. We need to have not only a crisis of full surrender, when we come to the altar prayer and find God sanctifying fully. That's important. But also we need to carry through daily, a daily practical surrender of continuing and unquestioning obedience to the will of God. Let us make every effort. Then look at verse 14. Let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. Our faith is going to be tested. What does it mean to hold firmly to the faith? It means that we're going to bring an attitude of willingness to believe God and a willingness to trust Him. You know, we're bombarded with all kinds of unbelievable things, and we develop a kind of a healthy skepticism. If you believed everything that was thrown at you during the week, well, you'd be running out to buy certain kinds of toothpaste, and you know, you wouldn't be able to live unless you had a certain kind of car. That's what they want you to believe. But you know, we take this attitude and we bring it over to God. And we need a Hebrews 11:6 type of faith.
Him that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God is good. And 100 times a week, that kind of a faith is going to be challenged. And if we're going to enter into our potential, we have to hold steady and trust in the integrity of God, no matter what comes. Hardship will come, pain will come, reverses will come, death will come. You say, well, I thought if I really was where I ought to be, I could pray. They told me on the 700 Club, if I did, everything would just come about all right. I don't believe in cheap grace or cheap faith. But I want you to know God is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And we need to hold firm that faith. God will bring us into the rest of things. And then the last, let us, verse 16, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. I suggest to you that we as Christians need to humbly confess that we don't know how to pray. If we're going to enter into our full potential, we're going to have to learn to pray. Learn to live in God's presence by faith. It isn't just the spectacular that we need. I tell you, as we tarry in God's presence, that's where we enter in, where we continue in the rest of faith. We'll receive mercy. You know, the chances are there are some dimensions of life that are out of our control, such as length. You didn't ask what genes you'd have and so forth. But chances are that your life will take on the dimensions of those things that are important to you. And I would challenge you to take that first verse of this chapter very seriously. What will this fear do? Where will this fear lead? This fear of coming short of God's promise. I would challenge you, it will lead you into greatness. I have a vision of a generation of Christ's church catching this vision and changing the world in one generation. We can be a small part of a big thing if we will fear lest this promise being given unto us, we come short of it. Long my imprisoned spirit lay, past bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eyes diffused a quickening ray, I woke. My dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off. My heart was free. I rose. I went forth. I followed thee.